you lose.
Well, the great fear is this, that tomorrow your anxiety level goes up and you start eating poorly. And then tomorrow night, we'd like to think that you'll continue to eat poorly because you're still excited about things. But, you know, if things don't go the way that we anticipate and there's going to be a certain number of people in town who things aren't going to go very well for one way or the other, you might go into a depression. And so Dr. Mensing is here to talk to you a little bit about how you have to marry that which you do dietary to things like depression. Did I get that pretty straight?
Yeah, well, we're going to start with, I want to summarize. We spent months talking a lot about lifestyle issues. I want to summarize, if that's the best way to say it. And then we're going to end with how this helps with depression issues, and then probably deal with depression on Wednesday, all right?
Yeah, there'll be some depressed people by Wednesday, I'm sure.
The impact of a healthy lifestyle factors on life expectancies of the U.S. population. There's a paper published about a year and a half ago, if I remember right, from Harvard, okay? Mm-hmm. Over 100,000 men and women followed. That's a big study, Terry.
Yeah, that's good. Very good.
Studied for 34 years. This is not some little study, all right?
That's hard to do. It's very hard to do.
Very hard to do, and it's expensive, but 34 years, 100,000 people, men and women, all right? And there are very few, the summary of that is there are very few basic lifestyle behaviors that if you change have massive effects. If you are 50 years old and you do at least 5 different lifestyle behaviors, so we'll go over them towards the end of the show, mm-hmm. essentially you will add 13 extra years to your lifespan. Now, if you're 70,
right?
70 years old, you haven't done right, and now you're at 70, you say, oh my gosh, what do I do? If you do these lifestyle behaviors, it adds 10 extra years to your lifespan. That's pretty impressive, Terry. You're 70 years old. You've screwed up.
Yeah. You've not taken care of. I didn't know I was going to live this long. I would have taken better care of myself. Sort of position.
All right. So what are some of these things? All right. Mm-hmm. Number one, 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. Walking 20 minutes a day. Maintaining a healthy weight.
Okay.
All right. And not smoking. That's not very much.
No, that's not.
Oh, no. If you do that, Terry,
mm-hmm.
you lower the risk of dying in the next 4 years by how much? Guess.
80%?
40%.
40%.
40%. 5 daily servings of fruits and vegetables, walking 20 minutes a day, maintaining your healthy weight, and not smoking. That's not that much, Terry, all right?
No.
Now, easier said than done, all right? I'm not here to minimize that, and we're going to talk a little bit, hopefully, towards the end of the program about some of the issues with it, all right? But that's huge. 40% less chance of dying in the next 4 years. That's huge, all right? Diet is the number one detriment, or I said that wrong. Diet is the number one determinant of how long we live. And there's this saying that was it'd been out for thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are what we eat.
Right, right, right.
It sounds so simple, but it's true, all right? So far as longevity, Terry, in the 1850s, the United States, the average lifespan was about 40 years, 38, 40 years, somewhere in there, all right? That's not very long in 1850. 2015, longevity was every year getting higher, longer. But in 2015, the curve started to reverse and longevity started going down.
Right, right.
Now, this is before COVID, Terry. So COVID changed lifestyle longevity issues by 2 years, all right? But this is before COVID, all right? So COVID is not the issue. All right. But in 2015, those longevity lifespans curves started to reverse and go down. By 2012, all right, that's quite a few years ago, all right?
12 years ago.
The American Heart Association published this. This, to me, is just, when you start to think of it, it's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
American Heart Association, in 2012, only 1% of the American people were eating a good diet.
1%.
1%.
But hasn't the, quote, good diet been a moving target for years?
Yes.
Because, I mean,
we'll go
it
over
used to
that
be the food groups, and you don't want to eat this. And now they find out, you know what, bread's not all that great for you.
Grains are not all that great for you. We're going to talk about that later. Okay. Later in the program, okay? Now, by 2022, that's only a couple of years, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
the American Heart Association revisited the data. All right, they've been following this for years. All right, revisited the data. And today, or 2 years ago, only 0.2% of the American population is eating this very healthy diet.
With all the advertising and everything that's on TV about...
Terry, yes. You know, to me, this is shocking. We're going to talk a little bit about why this happens. But when you start to look at this stuff, it's, oh, my gosh, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy... It's easy to know, I don't know if it's the right word to say, but it's hard to do, it's not, you have to be motivated, okay? That's mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program. Today in the U.S., with respect to life expectancy, we are number 27 out of 34 top free market economies in the world. Number 27. We're not number one for life expectancy. That's oh my gosh, Terry. That's terrible. All right?
Think of how bad it'd be if we didn't have modern medicine.
I don't want to go there. In 2024, this mm-hmm. year, all right? United States life expectancy dropped to the 43rd in the world. From 34th to 34th.
What is it, like 76?
Depends if you're male or woman. Okay. 76 and 72, all right?
Okay.
Now, for men live shorter than women, all right?
How come we mature later than women, but we die before they do? I don't think that's fair. Shouldn't you got to agree with this. When you're going through high school, it's the guy, the seniors are dating the sophomores, the senior guys are dating the sophomore girls, and you see that through life is that, you know, usually the guy is older. Because they mature.
I want to bypass that, Terry. We'll get sidetracked if we talk about it. Okay. It'd be good to have do another program on that. But I want to leave it. I don't want to go there, Terry. Because
continue, Professor.
The Mayo Clinic last year published this. 70% of all Americans,
mm-hmm.
babies to everybody, 70% are on a prescription drug.
70%.
Of every person alive, from newborns to, centenarians.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. 70% are on a prescription drug. I'm not against prescription drugs, Terry. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm against drugs. I'm not. I think many...
When used appropriately, they can be very effective.
Yes. There's a play. They're overused, and they're often, you know, I get cynical. In fact, the typical story of somebody who's on 20 or 30 drugs, and the doctors are giving them prescriptions to cover up side effects of other drugs. it just becomes such a nightmare mm-hmm. kind of thing. But 70% are on prescription drugs. Now, Mayo Clinic, in the same paper, all right, gave these statistics, and it's shocking, Terry. 80% of all chronic diseases, 80% of all chronic diseases people have today could be averted by four things. Number one, not smoking, being physically active, at least 20 minutes of activity per day, and eating a healthy diet. Those just three things could avert 80% of all chronic illnesses. That's shocking, Terry.
Well, I've said for a long time, Jen, having worked in the pharmaceutical industry for 18 and a half years, that if they want to put the pharmaceutical market out of business, everybody should get to their proper weight, eat healthy, and get exercise.
We're going to, I don't know, maybe we'll take a break, Terry, and come back. We're going to talk about the three problems, or why we have this problem. Okay, what are the root issues? There's three things are the root issues of where we are today with longevity in the United States.
Sounds good. Okay. Everybody, we're going to be back in just a minute. You're listening to Maximum Morning. Get to the last mic drop here on KNZR, AM 1560 and FM 97.7. Because he's tough. Yeah, he's the toughest around. Sleepy Joe was like the walking dead. He had to go knock on my left and over her head. Oh, can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the bone in the sheet. We'll have to be playing that rest of the day and all of tomorrow. All right, everybody, we are back. We're talking with Dr. Jen Mensink. You're listening to Maxwell in the Morning during the practice hour with Dr. Jen Mensink. And we're talking
overview of a lot of what we talked about for months. So we're looking at from the 20,000 foot picture going over. I want to talk about why we're where we are, right? Is that the right way to say it? Why we're, you know, this longevity is going down, why we're in trouble as a country, right? I want to, we've already established, COVID had its issues, all right? But I don't want to go there, kind of thing. I want to forget about COVID. And much of the data shows this was about 2015, the longevity was decreasing. So it's before COVID, all right? So it's not a COVID issue. I mean, COVID had its effect. It's probably about 2 years on longevity with COVID issues. But I don't want to go there. I want to talk about non-COVID issues even before that, all right? There's three reasons why we're in trouble, all right? Number one is misinformation, all right? Number two, will people do it, all right? And number three, people don't perceive the benefit of these changes until they're in trouble. All right?
Well,
whether we like it or not, we don't change our lifestyle until we're in trouble. All right? And I have this saying, women do as I tell them. Men don't do as I tell them until they get the crap scared on them.
Yeah.
And I don't like to say that, but it's true. It's the way guys are.
Yeah,
all right? If we had this incentive earlier, we mentioned some of these just little changes and the amount of change in longevity. You know, if you're 70, Terry, 10 years, I am 70. I know, but 10 years increase in longevity for people who start to do these things. That's huge, Terry. You know, I mean,
you're throwing numbers at people. Suggesting that, you know, if you're 70 like I am, and you do these things, you know, you get 10 more years, And for 2 months, I listen to what you say and I start doing them. But after 2 months, it's like, I give up.
Yeah.
I give up.
No,
you know,
it has to be like, lifestyle changes, not just things
right.
I change for a while. Now, it doesn't mean, Terry, I want to be careful, but people don't misunderstand. If you're 70 today and you're getting ready to die, and you start doing these things, it's going to be another 10 years.
Yeah,
Terry, that's not what I'm saying. But in general, over the large population statistics of the country, this is true. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So
each individual is at a different stage, and you have to take that into account.
Yeah, exactly. All right? But this idea that people don't perceive the benefits until they're in trouble is very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Whether we like it or not. We don't want to change our lifestyle, especially men, until we're in deep weeds.
And it
sounds easy to get. You know, we talk about these statistics for the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds, and they're having no troubles. Oh my gosh!
They don't see that they're setting the groundwork or they're laying the cement. For what's going to happen in the future.
Number three problem is people don't perceive the benefit they're going to have until they're in trouble. People aged 30, 40, 50 they're not in trouble, most of them. They don't want to do it. All right. There's a book called How Not to Die. All right. I believe there's a gentleman by the name of Garrison that wrote it. But anyhow, he talks about the missionaries last 10 years to 15 years going into Central Africa, essentially. And these areas in rural Africa were, they're eating this, basic starvation diet, and local fruits and vegetables and things
right,
like that.
Right,
very
right.
little meat. And there was no coronary artery disease, no hypertension, no diabetes, no strokes, and no cancers. All right? It's sort of
counterintuitive.
Yeah,
it's counterintuitive is what it is.
All right? And we have all this modern medicine. 70% of people alive today in the United States are on some kind of prescription. And it's going exactly the opposite way around. Our longevity rate is going down, all right?
Well, and we have the luxury of being able to eat a steak and chicken
we've talked about the blue zones.
Yeah.
All right? We've had programs, multiple programs on the blue zones. And the blue zones are very, very, very positive. That the less protein, the less meat you eat, the longer you're going to live.
Yeah, drive your proteins from something other than meat.
Exactly. There were two leaders, Pritikin and Ornish, Dr. Ornish and Dr. Pritikin, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But with good research, all right, not shabby research, with good research, postulated that if we converted America to a plant-based diet, all right. I'm not against meat, but just for a point, they said if we converted Americans to a plant-based diet, we could reverse coronary artery disease in the majority of patients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was laughed at, Terry. I want to be honest. In fact, I spent, this is years ago, I went to the Pritikin Institute. Oh, I spent, was it 3 weeks or 4 weeks? I don't remember. This is years and years ago. I went to the Pritikin Institute in up north somewhere. I'm trying to think where it was. I think it was east of Sacramento. But anyhow, make a long story short, this was, the fact that you could reverse coronary artery disease was laughed at. Okay, we've mentioned on the program before, we believe that the soft lesions in the arteries could be reversed. Once you got calcium in the hard lesions, you were stuck. It was a plumbing problem. I stent them, I bypass them, whatever. All right?
Right.
We now know, we've gone through this before on the program, we now know, and this came out of Peter Longo and two studies out of the from Peter Longo Longevity Institute and two studies out of UCLA, just before COVID, we now know it is possible to reverse the coronary artery calcium blockages in the heart. We can dissolve them. Now, we don't know exactly how yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
we know it is possible. That's life-changing. That means that these two docs, Pritikin and Ornish, years ago, they're being proven right.
They were onto something there.
They were onto something, all right? They were laughed at for years, all right? But they were onto something. And that's huge, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge. Where I wanted to go next is I've got three papers, one from 2008, 2017, and 2024. And talking about diet and mood issues and depression.
Okay.
And I want to sort of go through this, Terry, because whether we like it or not, the way the election cycle's going, you know, half the people are going to be depressed on Wednesday. Right? I don't know if that's the right word to say, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of major issues. So I thought it would be, for the end of the program, let's drill down a little bit on these things. All right?
Okay.
Number one, this is a paper from this year, all right?
Okay.
And bottom line, I think July 17th, I'm wrong, July 17th, 23, that was published.
Okay.
Last year, but pretty up to date, all right? But they start with the fact that there's no diet that will prevent the depression. That's true, by the way, all right? But we know that certain antioxidants prevent cell damage in the body, and our bodies make these free radicals that essentially cause aging and damage and all these kind of things that make depression more likely. Eating certain foods that are rich in these antioxidants, and we'll mention them in just a minute, can lower that risk of cell damage and the risk of depression issues. Doesn't cure it, but it can lower those risks. So this is last year, this was published, but number one, beta-carotene, things in high in beta-carotene, like apricots, broccoli, cantaloupe, carrots, collards, peaches, pumpkins, spinach, and sweet potatoes. High in vitamin C, things like blueberries, broccoli, grapefruit, kiwi, oranges, peppers, potatoes, strawberries, and tomatoes. High in vitamin E, like margarine, nuts and seeds, vegetable oils, and wheat germ. Now, with vitamin E, you want to make sure you don't get too much. All of these things, you're all okay. The beta-carotene is water-soluble. You can't overdose on it. Vitamin C, you can't overdose. It takes massive doses to overdose, all right?
Your stomach probably wouldn't be able to take them all.
But vitamin E is a different story. You want to take about 400 units per day. 800 you get by with if you're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, there's issues with. So vitamin E is the one you got to be a little bit more careful with, all right? The next thing that they publish is that smart carbs can have a calming effect. What does that mean? Carbohydrates are linked to mood-boosting chemicals in the brain like serotonin. So if you have low serotonin, you will crave carbs or sweets. All right? We don't think of that. In fact, we always ask our patients, do you crave sugars or salts? Because if you crave sugars,
mm-hmm.
it means that you often have a low serotonin level, dopamine level, or glutamatergic level. Bottom line, right. You are setting yourself up for depression.
Right.
Bottom line, all right? Number two, if you have salt cravings, it means that your body is under stress. Your adrenals are not working as well, all right? These people usually have salt cravings. All right. So we've mentioned smart carbs can have a calming effect. The next thing is protein-rich foods can burst alertness. All right? We didn't used to think of it that way. Now, so foods like tuna, turkey, chicken, they have an amino acid called tryptophan. All right?
Right.
Tryptophan. Now, you can get tryptophan from vegetables too, but it's much easier to get it from meats, but you don't need an awful lot. But here's the thing. The tryptophan, if you take that and you have enough of it every day, bottom line, it will help boost your energy and clear your mind so you see things better. You're not in this fog as easy. All right?
Okay.
And good sources of these healthy proteins? Let's talk about them. Beans, peas, i.e. legumes,
mm-hmm.
lean beef, low-fat cheese, fish, milk, poultry, and soya products, and yogurt. But the best ones are what? Beans and peas or legumes.
Okay.
People don't think of that. When you say, I want you to eat protein-rich food, oh, I'm going to eat a steak. All right?
Yeah, that's what most people are up for.
All right, beans and legumes are much better protein tryptophan basis than in fact, I think fish is number six.
Right? And tryptophan is going to make you more alert?
It makes you more alert and more aware of what's happening around you.
But I thought that was also the chemical in turkey meat that made you sleepy.
Okay, let's talk about that. Turkey, if I eat a turkey,
mm-hmm.
I will get sleepy.
Right.
All right. Everybody knows that.
Right.
That's
right.
What, Thanksgiving dinner and 2 hours later, everybody's just snoozing.
Everybody's snoozing. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Initially, tryptophan does that. But it later in the body, when it transforms into these other things, mm-hmm. it makes you more alert.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so that's quite frankly, a good nap makes you more alert right there.
Yes, that's true, but that's not the reason.
Good 10-minute power nap, and you're ready to take the world apart.
All right. So if you look in 2008, the paper that was done by NIH,
mm-hmm.
We'll get to it later. But this was not as much on the radar screen. Whereas today, 2023,
mm-hmm.
this is what NIH says. Foods that may help fight depression. Proteins, dairy, leafy greens, and whole grains. All right. So what do they recommend? Try a Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that in programs before.
Right.
Number two, get enough vitamin D3. We've had programs on that before.
Gotta have that.
Very important. All right. You need to have enough selenium. And selenium-rich foods are what? Beans and legumes, lean meat, low-fat dairy, mostly nuts and seeds, especially what nut? Brazil nuts.
Oh, good.
Brazil nuts. No, seriously.
Finally.
Brazil nuts are one of the major nuts with a lot of selenium in it.
Okay, great.
All right?
Great.
The next thing is you want to include enough omega-3 fatty acids. Those include fish, flaxseed, canola, and soybean oils. Nuts, especially nuts, walnuts, are high in omega-3s. And dark green leafy vegetables. All right?
Okay.
So we keep going back to dark green leafy vegetables and more vegetarian diet. And we've talked about the people who live over 100, these people that are, these centenarians that, live over 100.
Mm-hmm.
There's five areas where the highest group of centenarians are. One of them is in California, Loma Linda.
Right.
And then these other four areas around the country. The centenarians in Loma Linda are all vegetarians. All right. They don't eat any meat.
Right.
But of all these four other areas where the highest number of centenarians are, the average meat intake is 20 grams per day. That's, Terry, how big is that? Like a silver dollar of meat. They're almost vegetarians. So they eat so little meat, all right? And yet they live over 100, all right? Now, today there's a push. A lot of people want to eat lots of meat protein. And it makes
carnivore diet.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But long-term, short-term it's good. Long-term it's very, very bad. All right?
Yeah.
And the next thing they mention is your weight and lifestyle matter. We kind of know that already. Mm-hmm. You can't be overweight. There are ways of losing weight, Terry. How should I say? That are... I tell my patients, if you'll do as I tell you,
mm-hmm.
all right, I will make you as thin as I am, and you will feel fantastic. But it's hard. No, I was just talking to a person.
And there's no shortcuts.
Yeah, well, Terry. In fact, I was talking to somebody just a little while ago, all right, that's a little bit overweight, not doing as well, and they're on a certain medicine to help them lose weight.
Right.
Okay, and they're not as happy because it's not going as well as they'd like, all right? But here's the problem with those medicines. You know, Ozempic is one.
Wegovy.
All these, they help you lose weight, all right?
Right.
They are actually a side effect of the medicine.
Well, every effect is a side effect.
But they help you lose weight.
Right.
Here's the problem with these drugs. Number one, they do not make you change your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, there are issues with them, especially with protein metabolism and things like that. Number three is that it's the ideal drug because you can't stop it or else you gain all the weight back. All right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to make a drug, it would be the ideal drug.
That's why a lot of pharmaceutical companies, right when I was leaving in the 90s, were starting to shift from looking at short-term medications and doing nothing but research on chronic diseases.
You're going to make more money on it.
Yep, that's right. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. What are we going to do?
We're going to talk about the longevity secrets of superagers. This was published in 2017, I believe, by CDC, if I remember, but what they're saying. And there's some good information here.
All right. We'll be right back. He had to go. All right, everybody, we're back with Dr. Jan Mintzink from the practice. And we are going to jump into the next study that you have.
Yeah, Terry, if you look at the life expectancy of the 85-plus population, all right? And make a long story short, the older, just before you die, most of your medical costs are in that last year. You
know, right.
All right, before you die. But there's a lot of research. Normal people, all right, if that's the right word to say, you know, we get older and older, and we get sicker and sicker and sicker, and
right.
Then we drop off and die kind of thing, all right? Versus the centenarians from the blue zones, they don't get sick. They live healthy up until 100.
Yeah, their organ systems tend to keep on working
and functioning. Yeah. All right. So there's a lot of research, Terry, today. You know, this 85% population in the U.S. is expected to triple to 14.6 million by 2040. So essentially, what's happening is a whole bunch of research today is focused on how do I take that generation or those mm-hmm. group of people
mm-hmm.
and make them live healthy. Versus being sick and dying.
Right. Right, sure.
That's kind of how can I push the system or the, I don't know if the system right word to say, but how can I push these people to make them so that they're going to be like blue zone people? All right?
Yeah. Get it so that their organ systems don't start degrading and end up with you dying of because one of them is completely failed.
Terry, these blue zones, you know, we mentioned there's one, only one in the United States, Loma Linda.
Right.
All right.
Right.
There are others, I think, Icaria, Sardinia, Okinawa, and Nicosia. All right.
Mm-hmm.
These other four areas where these blue zones, what are the blue zones? This is where the highest concentration of people who live over 100 are centenarians. Okay. Now, here's what they have in common. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, they eat a highly plant-based diet with beans, whole grains, and veggies. Lots of them.
Okay.
All right? And we mentioned very little meat. And if they eat meat protein, protein as meat, it's, you know, less than the size of a silver dollar.
It's very little. Not much at all.
They have a lot of opportunities for natural movement and, like, walking, hiking, gardening, herding. They live active lifestyles. Mm-hmm. All right? They have a sense of purpose, why they're here in life, all right? And I want to mention again, we've mentioned this on other programs, it is not a purpose of serving myself, but a purpose outside of themselves.
It's got, you got to have that.
Yeah, some reason for living outside, grandchild, some organization, I don't care what, but not me, 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 all right? That's not purpose. They often, or they all belong to some kind of faith-based community, mm-hmm. all right? So they have a spiritual focus in their lives, all right? The next thing is they often take a daily nap, these people, in the afternoon to, they described as downshifting, mm-hmm. but essentially relieve some of the stressors in life. And they do not overeat, and they never eat after sunset. Now, if you look at the average American diet, it's exactly the opposite. We skip breakfast, and we have a little lunch, and we have this big dinner after.
Oh, and very often people are starting dinner at like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Exactly, and it's exactly the wrong way to do it.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
All right. So the next thing is...
Yeah, we're... go ahead.
I just want to... maybe after the break, we're going to talk about the one thing that you can do to keep your brain sharp.
All right. We'll be right back.
I always felt blue. Who said that? Maybe that would be a sin.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to want to join us tomorrow, definitely, because it's the day that voting stops. And so we'll have a lot of things we want to cover. But we got the one more thing that Dr. Mensing wanted to mention.
Terry, how do you keep your brain sharp? What one thing can you do to keep your brain sharp?
Do whatever my wife tells me.
No.
Shoot. You mean I've been doing it the wrong way all these years?
No, think of your brain as a muscle.
Yeah.
The more activate and use work your brain, the sharper you'll be. All right? That's I leave everybody with that one message. Keep your brain active. Don't let it get
sluggish. It's the strongest organ you have in your whole body.
It's so true.
You take people who have been given that death sentence, and because of their faith and their belief and their brain, things go away, and the doctors cannot explain it whatsoever. It's power of what the brain can do.
Yep.
Very good. Very good.
Good.
All right, everybody.
Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yes. Have a nice day tomorrow.
Yep.
Let's everybody stay calm. Don't get depressed. Actually, depression won't set in until after the polls start closing. We start seeing what manipulations we're going to be put through. And that will be the last one that bites the dust is the election day tomorrow.